Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always our joy, our delight to have you join with us on this broadcast. We look forward to our time together via Let's Face the Issues. We try to cover issues and things that are current, issues that are on the hearts and the minds of people, issues that we need to understand and deal with in daily life. And so I pray that you join in each day, looking forward to hearing responses and answers to some of the deepest questions that you may have, or some of the things that are troubling, bothersome, and difficult for you. That's the purpose of the broadcast. It's a question and answer format. It's designed so that you can call in, ask your questions, let us respond to you in hopes of giving you encouragement and insight, illumination, and direction for life and living. So as we talk about issues today, we're going to be talking about chronology of things to come. We're talking about theological doctrinal issues, chronology of things to come, what will happen next and next and next and next. And I pray that you will listen intently and it will be a time for encouragement and challenging for us. In just a moment, we'll be introducing Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps will be with us today. And jointly, we'll be talking about this subject, chronology of things to come. So hang in there, ladies and gentlemen, the number that you will be able to call and talk with us about these issues or this particular issue and have us to respond, 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God never changes. His Word doesn't change. One of the primary problems in society today, even among Christians, they've not been studying the Word. You've not been in depth into the Word of God to get an insight, a little bird's eye view, a glimpse of things to come and what God is going to do in the future tense for every child of God and for this whole world in which we're living in. So as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth book. You've heard me talk about it before. It's called the Bible. I remember back in Sunday school less than 100 years ago, one of the songs that we would sing, led by the Sunday school teachers of that era, was the Bible, the Bible. That's the book for me, is the way that it would be sung out by students in the classroom. But as we face the issues, we look at what the Word of God says. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, Jesus places the dogmatic, as I would call it, statement, and it ties it in with what we need to understand each and every day. When Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's not error with some truth. It's not truth mixed with some error. It is the totality of truth. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the truth book, the Word of God, it gives us insight and answers for the future. This is the reason it's so important for us to understand the chronology of things to come. But when we talk about truth, I can touch on this just very briefly. I watched most of the RNC, the Republican National Convention, listened to most of the speakers, and one of the things that I found was unique, almost, not quite all, but almost every one of them, with a minuscule exception, ended their statements by saying, "God bless you and God bless America." I was thankful to see the Republican National Convention have the word God, the name God, the recognition of God, basically sown throughout all that was said, and I find it in total contrast of the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democrat Party, where they wanted to banish God, even leaving God out of the pledge to the flag. And so there's a vast difference in the two worldviews that we see in society today. But truth is the major thing that is so different in the two worldviews. It's the truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that a number of years ago made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that ought to be the mantra and the stand for every Christian under the sound of my voice today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment as well as landscape equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic American flag is flowing. Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, look up. You'll see about a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever considered what's going to happen tomorrow, next day, next month, next week? Have you ever considered what the future holds? I'm talking about theologically, doctrinally, biblically. What does the future hold? That's what we'll be talking about today, but let me tuck in just before we get into the subject and our monologue on that. We'd love to have you visit with us this Sunday. I have determined that we need to have all of our churches open. But ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of churches still in this entire geographical area that's still closed. No Sunday morning service, no Sunday night service, no Wednesday night service. So if you're in a church where they're still hiding under the bed or hiding behind the hiding in the closet, let me invite you to come worship with us. I'm not trying to take you out of your church, but if you're not in church, we'd love to have you come and visit with us. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. The Sunday school, the Bible study hour, is at 9:30 on Sunday morning. 9:30 Sunday morning, the Bible study hour. 10:45 is the Sunday morning services, and it's 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. We teach word for word, chapter by chapter, book by book in the Word of God. It is the expository biblical preaching, and we're delighted to have you come and join with us. So this Sunday morning, if you're not in your church, if you're not actively involved, and you're looking for a church home where you can learn the Word of God, study the Word of God, and look at the Scripture through the prism of the literal interpretation of the Scripture, we'd love to have you. It'd be our delight to have you worship with us. Ladies and gentlemen, have you considered, have you thought about, ever looked at the question of, what does the future hold? What's God going to do next? I recall hearing the story. Let me just give you a little illustration before we get into the depth of the monologue. I recall hearing the story about Dr. R.G. Lee. Dr. Lee pastored the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for about 52 years prior to his death. But Dr. Lee told the story about having a revival meeting in a church, and he was preaching. And one Sunday morning as he was preaching in that church, and everybody was leaving the sanctuary and shaking the hands with the preacher and saying good things about the message and asking questions and Dr. Lee being able to discover who they were. And on that Sunday morning, one gentleman came out and had some very positive things to say about the pastor's message, about Dr. Lee's preaching. And Dr. Lee asked him, said, young man, what are you doing? What are you involved in? And he said, well, Dr. Lee, I'm in engineering school. And Dr. Lee says, it's wonderful. Where are you? And he told him, and he said, what do you plan? When are you going to graduate? And he told him when he'd be graduating. And he said, after graduation, what will you do? And he said, well, Dr. Lee, after graduation, I'll find a job with a good engineering firm and go to work with them. And Dr. Lee said, what next? What then? And he said, well, I would plan on staying with the company and climbing the successful ladder and eventually being able to be in a supervisory or leadership or administration role. And Dr. Lee said, that's well and wonderful. What then? And he said, well, eventually I'll be able to retire. And Dr. Lee said, what then? He said, well, after retirement, I plan on spending some time with the family and traveling across the nation and seeing things that I would not be able to do otherwise. Dr. Lee said, that's wonderful. What then? And he said, well, and he paused for a moment. He said, eventually, I reckon I'll die. And Dr. Lee said, what then? And he said, I've never thought about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, many people today listening under the sound of my voice, you've never thought about what comes next. You've never considered biblically the chronology of things to come. You've never considered afterlife what takes place. You've never considered what's going to happen tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, most people have never considered what happens after death. You know, there are two alternatives. After death, there are two places. And everybody, every human being, every individual that's ever been created will live eternally. I'm not talking about now in the physicality. But we're created as eternal beings. We'll live eternally, either in that place called heaven or that place called hell. There's no in-between. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no holding tank. And a lot of folks will preach and teach something different. But the next thing on the calendar of God, ladies and gentlemen, is the rapture of the church. That's a sudden seizure, the snatching away of the believer out of this old world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 is a wonderful, wonderful overview of that. And immediately, ladies and gentlemen, after the rapture of the church, every Christian, every saint of God, every child of God will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in what's called the Bema Seat Judgment. That's the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, and Romans 14, verse 10, 11 and 12, you find that very succinctly given. That's the Bema Seat Judgment. The Bema Seat Judgment is where we're judged for the works done in the body, whether it be good or bad. You see, after we're saved, everything that we do is going to account for those rewards eventually that will be ours in that place called heaven. We don't get saved by good works, but after salvation, the works in service for the Lord Jesus Christ will be adjudicated at the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ. That's the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema Seat Judgment, as it is called theologically. Following the judgment seat of Christ will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, while this is taking place in heaven, on earth will be the 7 years of tribulation. But immediately following the Bema Seat Judgment, that is the judgment seat of Christ, where our works are going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we will then be seated around the table with the in the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's in heaven. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7, 8, and 9, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where we're seated around the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. Following this is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. And following the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, and eventually you'll see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, Satan himself will be cast into that place of fire and brimstone. It's called Tartarus in the Greek text. It means fire and brimstone, otherwise termed hell. But ladies and gentlemen, following these events, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Some call it the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It is theologically called the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about this subject today, I'm talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in the Conservative Theological University, teaches Bible and theology. He'll be teaching a full 16 weeks on this subject this semester, starting September the 8th. He'll be teaching the Millennial Kingdom, the Millennial Kingdom. Dr. Phelps, I'm delighted that you could join me today, and we could talk about this very, very, very important subject that most Christians have never heard of. Most are not aware of the chronology of what takes place for the future. Most have never thought beyond just John 3:16 and what the Scripture says. And it's imperative, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand the chronology of things to come. And that's what we're talking about today. I've just given you a thumbnail sketch overview of those important factors. But Dr. Phelps and I are going to be talking about the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. At any point in time during the course of this broadcast, jump in. We want to hear your question, dialogue, and discussion about the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, delighted to have you today. It's always a joy for us to be able to talk about theological, doctrinal things together.
It's good to be here, and I'm excited about this topic, because it is going to involve each of us. That's where we're going to be in the future. History is moving toward the time of the establishing of that future millennial kingdom on earth in fulfillment of God's promises to all of his people. Believing Christians have prayed, as you know, for centuries, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven."
So in essence, Dr. Phelps, this millennial kingdom is the response to our prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's a wonderful thought that most have never considered, I believe.
Yes. Well, people who are of faith often use the phrase "one Messiah, two appearances." Almost the world over acknowledge that first appearance, a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger, but few realize that this same Jesus will come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to establish a genuine earthly kingdom. Actually, I would like to suggest that there are three appearances that the Bible talks about. At his first event, he appeared in the flesh, and by way of the virgin birth, he came to live among us and be the prophet that God talked about way back in the Old Testament times. He was greater than Moses. He's the Messiah. The Son spoke God's words to us. But the present appearance is in heaven. He ever lives in heaven at the right hand of God to appear for us. According to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 24, he is there as our great high priest. He's our mediator. Christ is now seated in heaven. But then there's that third appearance. It will be his appearance in glory. His first appearance was in the flesh. He now appears in heaven, but he will appear in glory. He will be coming back as the king to be enthroned upon the throne of David. He's coming in his majesty, and Christ will serve as ruler upon the throne of David for a glorious time we call the millennial reign of Christ.
Yes, millennial reign. Millennium means 1,000 years, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Dr. Phelps, the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, just as, let me use an illustration for our listeners' benefit. There are a lot of people that, theologians that I've studied behind and that I've heard speak, they say that, for example, the marriage supper of the Lamb will be on earth, but that's not what the Bible says. So the question that I want to ask you, for you to respond to for our listeners, where will this millennial kingdom take place? Is that a philosophical thought? Is that a literal kingdom? And where will it be when Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years?
The Bible teaches us everywhere that it's going to be a literal, earthly kingdom because it involves the throne of David.
Yes.
And so there's much to be said about that. So why must there be a future millennial kingdom? I suggest, first of all, it's because of God's promises to David. Mm-hmm. Way back in the book of 2 Samuel, God made some promises concerning David and his son who would reign upon the throne. And the covenant that God made with David is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. God promised David that he would raise up a son to sit upon his throne. And as we look at that passage, God made a promise to him. God says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Notice that there's a mention of his house, his kingdom, and his throne.
Mm-hmm.
And God intends to raise up the house of David, and the descendants of David will have great to do in the future millennial kingdom. And there's going to be then the throne and his kingdom. Now, what God promised to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16 and 7, was confirmed later in Psalm 89, verses 27 and 28, when God made some promises there concerning this same subject. And in Psalm chapter 89, we read, God says, I'll make him, is that this descendant of David, his son, I'll make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. God was confirming the promise that he made to David, but few realize that that was renewed in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following, where God sent the angel to speak to Mary. And as we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, God said concerning this son that was to be born by way of the virgin birth, the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
So it's an eternal reign that he's talking about, but a portion of that, 1,000 years,
yes,
is going to be on earth.
Yes.
Continue, Dr. Phelps.
So as shown in these passages, God fully intends to fulfill his promise to King David. I don't believe that God lies.
That's right.
God's word is faithful. And so the wonderful truth of the scriptures is that Jesus Christ is the Son of David, the Messiah. Jesus is the only one who is eligible to be given the throne of David, for his lineage is traced through Mary to the line of King David, according to Luke chapter 3. So the promise that God will perform to David is not only guaranteed by his oath, Psalm 89, but also by his immutable word, as stated to the Lord Jesus Christ here in Luke in chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. God made some promises concerning David, and those promises were then confirmed to the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to keep his promise concerning this future millennial time on earth. So it's an earthly kingdom because it is involving the throne of David. It's not the throne in heaven. Jesus said something about his throne where he is now seated. It's the throne of his father. He sat down in heaven. But the throne we're talking about here is a throne on earth, a
yes,
literal earthly throne.
Earthly throne. Dr. Phelps, a question, and we've got just a few minutes before our news break, and I think we have time to respond to it. I've got a question that, for example, with Jesus' rule for this 1,000 years on earth, will that be worldwide? Will it include all nations that he's ruling and reigning over?
There must be a future millennial kingdom because of the nations of the earth. I believe the rule of Christ will be worldwide, including all nations.
Yes.
He shall be king over all the earth. See, the prophet Daniel saw a future day when Christ, the stone of the scriptures, will return to break in pieces and consume all of the kingdoms represented by the different metals of the Babylonian king's image. And so when we look at the passage that's found in the book of Daniel, we read about God's intention to do something that's worldwide. Listen to Daniel chapter 2 and verses 34 and 35. See, when Jesus comes back again, he'll break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms that he saw in his vision. Daniel 2:34, we read, thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, and the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away. There was no place found for them, for the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And Daniel was then to explain that dream to the king of Babylon. What he's talking about here is the times of the Gentiles, when the Babylonian kingdom then was there in control of the world at that time, then followed by the other kingdoms, the Medes and the Persians, and then the Alexander's kingdom, and then finally Rome. But the times of the Gentiles, you see, are going to be replaced by the future millennial kingdom. So Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, here's another explanation of that. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's what we're talking about here, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God has told us, has made known to the king, what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, the interpretation thereof sure. And so the final age of world history to be ushered in is the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years.
Yes, Dr. Phelps, one of the questions that some of the listeners might have in mind, or a question they may not have formulated even in their mind, during the course of the millennial reign, book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, there's about one-fourth of that entire book. The book of Isaiah, about one-fourth of the book, covers the millennial reign. And I just usually, as I'm teaching and preaching and talking about the millennial kingdom, it will provide peace, prosperity, and plenty that the world has never seen before. If that is true, and it is, where is Satan in that period of time? What happens to Satan? Why is it that there is no rampant reign of Satan as we find today?
Well, one of the answers to that, of course, is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Since Satan is the instigator of sin, he'll be bound for 1,000 years.
Yes.
That means he's going to be incarcerated, as we say today.
Yeah, incarcerated.
The devil, the wicked one, is behind every sin, every murder, every war, every evil practice, violence, vandalism, vulgar speech, offense, wrong, iniquity, immoral act, and transgression.
We could probably even say he's behind the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the anarchists that's taking place, the thugs in the street today. It is a satanic, demonic movement, and Satan won't be able to do that during that 1,000 years.
That's right. That won't happen. So the devil and his evil angels are going to be evicted from the face of the earth. So we can say with authority from the scriptures, righteousness, not sin, will prevail in the kingdom age. According to Isaiah 11, verse 5 and 9, violent protests, vandalism, desecration of public property, disrespect, vulgar speech, irreverence, ingratitude, and idolatry will not be allowed. Christ himself will exercise his control, his dominion, as ruler over all the earth. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, we have some wonderful words to read and talk about.
We'll have to come back to that in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Don't turn your dial, hang in there. Today we're talking about chronology of things to come. What will happen during the millennial reign? When will it be? Where will it be? Will you be there? Would you be in the millennial? Another question, ladies and gentlemen, be pondering, will the Jewish people be in the millennial reign? We're going to answer those questions right after the break. Don't turn your dial, hang in there. 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Be right back as we continue with Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.